Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening to the recording in a later day, Sabbath blessing everyone on this beautiful sunny Sabbath, August 10th, 2024. This is our review of our chapter 81 entitled, The Lord is Risen, of our lesson 414. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. And we are going to ask our dear brother to bless us once more with a tiny tap song. It's a hymn entitled Just As I Am. The number is 340.
As I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting not, to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse its spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight rich as healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee I find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thy love I own, hast broken every barrier down. Now to be thine and thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. Welcome to all the precious family that are coming in. If any one of the little ones, by the help of their parents or even the elder siblings, would like to open our family review section, may you please unmute your mic, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please protect the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This day, shall thy labor and do all thy work. In the seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord. Please protect everybody that's in the Sabbath and not in the Sabbath. In Jesus' name I pray. And please protect the Sabbath prayers. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. We are going to hand the mic to our dear remnant family to share any one of the blessings that they have been to their household mommies and daddies, neighbors, sisters, brothers, even their peer. May you unmute your mic to share their voice.
Our blessings, everyone. For our mommies and daddies' little blessings, I'd like to highlight again Haley and Emma for always just being willing to learn new things. They're constantly writing things, prayers, songs, praying for others, especially when you think they're not listening as you're praying as a parent for others. They're seeing that and they're emulating, not just praying for themselves, but praying for others. And we pray that they continue to learn that selflessness and continue to lift before God others as well as their endeavors. We'll continue to pray for them in that way. And we're blessed by it to see that they're opening up their hearts and their minds for that.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there any other family that would like to be able to share the blessings in their household? We are going to continue, and maybe later in the study we can be able to share in the section of testimony. It is time for our precious tiny talks in this Sabbath lesson. The story of Jesus, chapter 20, we are going to have a review also entitled Before Pilate, and I will hand it back to our dear brother to share.
There we go. The Bible verses for our lessons are taken from the book of John, Luke, and Matthew, in that order. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. Caiaphas was the high priest. It was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. How deluded they were. They wanted to keep that Passover, but they were killing the one that it foreshadowed. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring you against this man? And they began to accuse him, saying, Oh, we found this fellow perverting the nation, forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself was a king. They say unto him, Caesar's. Then said he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest it. After Christ had been condemned by the judges of the Sanhedrin, he was taken at once to Pilate, the Roman governor, to have the sentence confirmed and executed. The Jewish priests and rulers could not themselves enter the judgment hall of Pilate. By the ceremonial law of their nation, they could not, or they would become defiled by doing so, and thus be debarred from taking part in the feast of the Passover. In their blindness, they did not see that Christ was the real Passover lamb, and that since they had rejected him, this great feast had for them lost its meaning. As Pilate beheld Jesus, he saw a man of noble countenance and dignified bearing. No trace of crime was to be seen in his face. Pilate turned to the priests and asked, What accusation bring you against this man? John 18:29. His accusers did not wish to state particulars, and so they were not prepared for this question. They thought Pilate would just say, okay, and ratify their condemnation. They knew that they could not bring, they could bring no truthful evidence on which Rome, the Roman governor, would condemn him. So the priest called the false witnesses to their aid, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself was king." It was Christ the king, Luke 23:2. This was false, for Christ had plainly sanctioned the payment of tribute to Caesar when the lawyers had tried to entrap him in regard to this matter. He had said, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things that which are Caesar's," Matthew 22:21. Pilate was not deceived by the testimony of the false witnesses. He turned to the Savior and asked, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest," Matthew 27:11. And it looks like it's back to Rose.
Just to be able to let them know that next Sabbath we will continue with part two of our new chapter entitled Before Pilate in our tiny talk lesson book, The Story About Jesus, and that will take place August 17, 2024. Now I'm going to hand it back to our dear brother to share the review questions.
Why did the Jewish priests and rulers bring Jesus to Pilate?
To have the sentence confirmed and excited.
Executed. They wanted Pilate to say, "Yeah, he is a bad boy. You can kill him. Here's permission to kill him." Because you see, the Jews were under the control of the Romans and they could not sentence people to death legally because they were a captive nation. Okay, what did Pilate, Pilate beheld or see in Jesus? That should have been behold.
The answer to number two is he saw a man of countenance and dignified bearing.
He saw a man of noble countenance and dignified bearing. He didn't see a man whose face revealed all the crimes that he had committed. A guilty man cannot appear of noble countenance and dignified bearing. And that's what he saw in Jesus. What did the priest do since they had no truthful evidence?
Number three is the priest called the false witness to their aid.
They called in people to tell lies. And even according to Jewish law, if you condemned a person and lied about it, and it was found out they were not guilty, you would get the sentence that you tried to get put on them. So the false witnesses should have been crucified because they were lying about Jesus. But human courts are not always, they don't always practice justice. Okay, thank you for participating. Back to you, Rose.
Amen. Good job, everyone. It is time for Tiny Talks and parents and guests to review the precious lesson in God's creation through nature from our topic, Moments of the Bible. And I want to hand it to our dear brother, Josh, to share.
God bless you, everyone. Dear saints, listen concerning the Good Shepherd. Our Bible verses for our lesson view is taken from the book of John chapter 10, verses 6 to 14. And the lesson is lesson 3, the Good Shepherd. It says, there's a love and picture of a shepherd being a flock. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. In this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, means by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, replies. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, be the wolf coming, and leadeth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. And I am the good shepherd, but also but, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. We're reviewing in lesson number 4, Caring for the Sheep, part 1, and the memory verse is Revelation 7:17. The lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And the character quality of the story is care versus indifference. Care is to have an interest and concern about another person as Christ cares about me, or in this case, all of us. The door and the good shepherd. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leadeth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. John 10:7-14. Christ is the door of the fold of God. Through this door all his children from the earliest times have found entrance. And Jesus as shown in type, as shadowed in symbols, as manifested in the revelation of the prophets, as unveiled in the lessons given to his disciples, and in the miracles wrought for the sons of men, they have beheld the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John 1:29. And through him they are brought within the fold of his grace. Many have come presenting their objects for the faith of the world. Ceremonies and systems have been devised by which men or hope to receive justification and peace with God, and thus find entrance to his fold. The only door is Christ, and all who have interposed something to take the place of Christ, all who have tried to enter the fold in some other way, are thieves and robbers. The Desire of Ages, pages 477-478. Of all the creatures, the sheep is one of the most timid and helpless. In the East, the shepherd's care for his flock is untiring and incessant. Anciently as now, there was little security outside of the walled town. Marauders from the roving border tribes or beasts of prey from their hiding places in the rocks lay in wait to plunder the flock. The shepherd watched his charge, knowing that it was at the peril of his own life. Jacob, who kept the flocks of Laban in the pasture grounds of Haran, describing his own weary labor, said, In the day of the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my feet departed from mine eyes. Genesis 31:40. And it was while guarding his father's sheep that the boy David, the single-handed, encountered the lion and the bear, and rescued from their teeth the stolen lamb. As the shepherd leads his flock over the rocky hills, through forests of wild ravines, to grassy nooks by the riverside as he watches them on the mountains, through the lonely night, shielding from robbers, caring tenderly for the sickly and feeble. His life comes to one to be one with theirs. A strong and tender attachment unites him to the objects of his care. However large the flock, the shepherd knows every sheep. Everyone has its name and responds to the name of the shepherd called. The desire page is page 478 to 479. What can we learn from our nature walk experience? Let's use our listening ears, little ones. Here's info about the wild sweet pea vine, or scientific name is Lathyrus latifolia. Grows to the wild sweet pea vine grows to a height of 7 feet. Small racemes of pink flowers that appear on the vine from spring to fall are allowed by seed pods. Native to Central and Southern Europe, the plant has also spread to North Africa. The sweet pea has its value as a cut flower and an ornamental. In Japan, the flowers are often used in commercial floral arrangements. It has invasive characteristics as a escaped cultivation across the U.S., where it flourishes along roadsides and in meadows. And then it's about the flowers. Says, the plant produces racemes of 4 to 14 flowers on the top of each stem. On the top of each stem, the flowers appear either pink with a purplish hue or white in color. Each flower measures up to 1 inch across. As the flower ages, its color fades dramatically. The flowers fold no scent. The plant blooms over a 2-month period in midsummer. The flower shape is often compared to that of a small butterfly. The petals are arranged with one large banner petal. Below the banner petal are 2 tiny petals. The flowers are pollinated by bumblebees. And the warning below says, the seeds of a plant are toxic. They contain a neuroactive amino acid. Both human and livestock have died from ingesting the seeds, according to the University of Michigan. And the info is from the website www.gardenguys.com/12979773-wild-p-p-identification.html. Next is the dragon breath. What is the dragon's breath plant? The dragon's breath plant, also known as the Celosia dragon's breath, is a stunning flowering annual that adds a pop of vibrant color to any garden. Native to tropical regions, this plant gets its name from the unique appearance of its flower spikes, which resembles flames shooting out from a fire. The fiery red or purple bloom, coupled with its lush green foliage, make it appear a popular choice for gardeners looking to create a bold statement in their outdoor space. There are several species of the dragon's breath plant, which each with its distinctive characteristics. The most common species include Celosia argentea. This variety features vibrant red or yellow flowers that resemble flames. The flower spikes can grow up to 10 inches in length and are known for their fluffy texture. Celosia spicata, spicata, also known as the wheat celosia. This species has long, slender flower spikes that resemble wheat stalks. The flowers are typically purple, pink, or white. Now, and finally, Celosia plumosa. With its feathery plumes of flowers, this species is often referred to as the plumed celosia. The blooms come in a range of vibrant colors, including red, orange, yellow, and pink. Information from greeneryinside.com/how-to-care-for-dragon's-breath-plant. Finally, And God, from these pictures of the fun fest at the bay with the settlers, they said, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Genesis 1:14. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Genesis 1:5. This last text tells us that time on this earth began in the evening. This is the reason why we always begin the Sabbath at sunset. From even to even shall you celebrate your Sabbath. Leviticus 23:32. The Bible defines the word evening as the going down of the sun. Deuteronomy 16:6. When the earth is made new, we will not have nighttime. There is plenty of evidence that Christians for many centuries after apostolic times reckoned the day from sunset to sunset. Even though the world has made up its own method of observing time, Christians can still recognize God's true time. They do this every returning Sabbath day, and also the family prayer at the cool of the sunset hour. Child Guidance, page 519. This can remind us of heaven's timetable of beginning the day at evening. In heaven and the earth made new, we will continue to observe the Sabbath. It says the bold picture on the left, in Psalm 104:19-23, 22-23. He appointed the moon for seasons, the sun knoweth is going down. And below of both the text and the picture says, the sun ariseth, they gather themselves together and lay them down their dead. Man go forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. Next is this lesson from Waterbrook. It says, well, the picture of the deer, as in its thirst, there's the panting heart, to Waterbrooks do flee, so pants my longing soul, O God, thine may come to thee, unknown. This small poem is based on Psalm 42:1-2. And that same verse, this is on the top right, says, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so pants my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Psalm 104:10-11. He sendeth the springs into the valley, which run among the hills. They drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. And next is this lesson concerning the seagull. Amazing facts about the seagull. Seagulls, learn and remember and even pass on behaviors such as stamping their feet in a group to imitate rainfall and trip earthworms into coming to the surface. Seagulls' intelligence is clearly demonstrated by a range of different feeding behaviors such as dropping hard shells, mollusks, into rocks so that they break open so they can eat them. Following plows in fields where they know upturned grubs and other food sources will be plentiful. Seagulls are attentive and caring parents. The male and female pair for life, and they take turns incubating the eggs and feeding and protecting the chicks. In quick facts, text below say, the type of bird animal the seagull is a bird. Their diet, their omnivores, mean they eat both plants and other animals. Their lifespan is 10 to 15 years. Their size is from 30 to 75 centimeters. Their weight is from 120 to 1,750 grams. Their habitat is coastlines, bays, major lakes, and urban areas. Their range is global, and their scientific name is Laridae. On the right says, a lake is a body of water surrounded by land. It is made by rain, streams, and other land. building dams can make a lake, or many times water collects in an old crater forming the lake. Some lakes dry up because of a change in the weather. A volcano or earthquake may change the area and cause the lake to disappear. A lake is a place for animals and plants to live. It can be used for irrigation and by farmers and many other uses. Also, all things in heaven and earth declare that the great law of life is a law of service. Lake and ocean, river and water spring, each takes to give. Education, pages 103. The simplest lake may also reflect pictures of what is around you. So the simplest mind may reflect the beauty of Jesus' character. Below says the word lake comes from a Greek word meaning hole or pond. And below's tip, amazing facts about seagulls, one kind of plant, animal education, and facts, and the lesson concerning the lake is from Family Bible Lesson, Year 2, Quarter 3, Water. Next, this is the lesson concerning vegetables via peppers. It says, what is a true vegetable? True vegetables, according to the Bible, do not have their seeds within themselves, and usually the plant dies when it is carved, such as a carrot, harvested, such as a carrot. A true fruit has its seed within itself. See Genesis 1:29-30, 3:18. Fruits are often called vegetables. As the word food can mean anything we eat, so vegetables is a loose term. The true vegetables were given after sin to remind us, and the plant died. So someday Jesus would die for sin. When we eat them today, it reminds us of his great sacrifice as the veggies died to give us life. Nature. Bible vegetables, general term. Vegetables were grown in gardens during Bible times, Deuteronomy 11:10. 1 Kings 21:2. These included leeks and onions. Many wild plants were used as vegetables and herbs. Two of the most used vegetables in Bible times were beans and lentils. Lentils bring to mind the story of Jacob and Esau and how Esau sold his birthright for a dish of lentils. This is a warning to us to have our appetites under God's control. Peter also received a warning about what he was about to do. His example reminds us, a man of words and not these is like a garden full of weeds. Other vegetables were leeks, onions, garlic, cucumbers, gourds, or squash, peas, lettuce, melons, and many different herbs. The vegetables were considered as the food for poor people. The simple food of the poor is often the best food, as told in FBL, Year 3, Quarter 2, Lessons Concerning the Garden. Continuing our reference reading for the mammals of the Bible of our lesson review, taken from our lesson book, The Desire of Ages, Chapter 52, The Divine Shepherd, Part 2. Christ applied these prophecies to himself, and he showed the contrast between his own character and that of the leaders in Israel. The Pharisee had just driven one from the fold because he dared to bear witness to the power of Christ. They had cut off a soul whom the true shepherd was drawn to himself. In this, they had shown themselves ignorant of the work committed to them and unworthy of their trust as shepherds of the flock. Jesus now set before them the contrast between them and the good shepherd. He pointed to himself as the real keeper of the Lord's flock. Before doing this, however, he speaks of himself under another figure. The Desire of Ages, pages 477, paragraph 1. He said, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The Pharisees did not discern that these words were spoken against. When they reasoned in their hearts as to the mean, Jesus told them plainly, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The Desire of Ages, page 177, paragraph 2. In all ages, philosophers and teachers have been presenting to the world theories by which to satisfy the soul's need. Every heathen nation has had its great teachers and religious systems offering some other means of redemption than Christ, turning the eyes of men away from the Father's face and filling their hearts with fear of Him who has given them only blessings. Continuing. The trend of their work is to rob God of that which is His own, both by creation and by redemption. And these false teachers rob man as well. Millions of human beings are bound down under false religions, in the bondage of slavish fear, of stolid indifference, toiling like beasts of burden, bereft of hope or joy or aspiration here, both only a dull fear of the hereafter. It is the gospel of the grace of God alone that can uplift the soul. The contemplation of the love of God manifest in His Son will stir the heart and arouse the powers of a soul as nothing else can. Christ came that He might recreate the image of God in man. Whoever turns men away from Christ is turning them away from the source of true development. He is defrauding them of the hope, purpose, and glory of life. He is a thief and a robber. Starvation, page 478, paragraph 2. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Christ is both the door and the shepherd. He enters in by Himself. It is through His own sacrifice that He becomes the shepherd of the sheep. To him that the porter openeth, and the sheep hear His voice, and He calleth His own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, and they know His voice. Desire for His faithful understanding, paragraph 3. Of all creatures, the sheep is one of the most timid and helpless. In the East, the shepherd's care for his flock is untiring, and he says, anciently as now, there was little security of the walled towns. Marauders from the roving border tribes or beasts of prey from their hiding places in the rocks, lay in wait to plunder the flocks. The shepherd watched his charge, knowing that it was at the peril of his own life. Jacob, who kept the flocks of Laban in the pasture grounds of Haran, describing in his own weird labor, said, in the day the drought consumed me, the frost by night, and my thief departed from mine eyes. Genesis 31:40. And it was while guarding his father's sheep that the boy David single-handed encountered the lion and the bear and returned from their teeth the stone lamb. Star of Ages, page 178, paragraph 4. Our three bonus questions are, do you find the lesson in the Bible chapter, John chapter 10? The first question is, what did Jesus say He was? You find the answer in John 10:7. Explain the answers in John 10:8-9. Question 2 is, why does the thief come? Why does Christ come? Both answers are in John 10:10. And finally, the last S2 is number 3. What does the good shepherd do for the flock? What does the hireling do for the flock? The answers for both questions are in John 10, verses 11 to 13. I'll give the mic back to Mom now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. Welcome to all the precious family that came in and are coming in. And remember, little ones, just as I am, without one plea, But thy blood was shed for me, and thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Welcome to all the dear brethren. Our opening song is a hymn entitled Jesus Saved. You can find it in the hymn book, number 340. If you would like to share the hymn with us, dear ones, you may unmute your mic to do so. We have heard a joyful sound, Jesus saved, Jesus saved. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saved, Jesus saved. Hear the news to every land, climb the steep and cross the wave. All will tell the Lord's command, Jesus saved, Jesus saved.
What fate on the rolling tide, Jesus saved, Jesus saved. Tell to sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea, echo back ye ocean caves, earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Sing above the battle strife, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it loud, sing it softly through the gloom. When the heart for mercy craves, sing in triumph for the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Give the wind a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nation now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills, the deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to ask any of the elder siblings or mommy or daddy or any of our guests to be able to open our family meeting review with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear friends.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you for raising us up for this morning. Just the way that we're going to be learning for the people that's here and the people that's not here, or we can go back to the Sabbath. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from the scripture song singers in the section God's Love. This is 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1 from the King James margin.
Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed. The Father hath bestowed upon us. Behold what manner of love. Behold what manner of love what manner of love? 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love?
Amen. Welcome to all the dear brethren that are coming in. What have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? We will take a few minutes to reread part one of our last Sabbath lesson of The Lord is Risen in our study book, The Desire of Ages. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic to do so.
The Desire of Ages, page 779. The night of the first day of the week had worn slowly away. The darkest hour just before daybreak had come. Christ was still a prisoner in his narrow tomb. The great stone was in its place. The Roman seal was unbroken. The Roman guards were keeping their watch, and there were unseen watchers. Next slide, please. Hosts of evil angels were gathered about the place. Had it been possible, the Prince of Darkness with his apostate army would have kept forever sealed the tomb that held the Son of God. But a heavenly host surrounded the sepulchre. Angels that excel in strength were guarding the tomb and waiting to welcome the Prince of Life. The Desire of Ages, page 779, paragraph 1. Amen.
And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, clothed with the panoply of God. This angel left the heavenly court. The bright beams of God's glory went before him and illuminated his pathway. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Desire of Ages, page 779, paragraph 2.
The Desire of Ages.
Go ahead.
Thank you. The Desire of Ages, page 779. Now priests and rulers, where is the power of your guard, brave soldiers that have been afraid of humans?
Never
been afraid of humans. Power are now as captives, taken without sword or spear. The face they look upon is not the face of a mortal warrior. It is the face of the mightiest of Lord's hosts. This messenger is he who fills the position from which Satan fell. Next slide, please.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Desire of Ages, page 779. Continuing, is he who on the hills of Bethlehem proclaimed Christ's birth. The earth trembles at his approach, the hosts of darkness flee. As he rolls away the stone, heaven seems to come down to the earth. The soldiers see him removing the stone as he would a pebble and hear him cry, Son of God, come forth. Next slide, please.
Anyway, thy father calls thee. They see Jesus come forth from the grave and hear him proclaim over the rent.
Sepulture.
I am the
resurrection
and the life. As he comes forth in majesty and glory, and the angel host
bow and adoration
before the
Redeemer
and welcome to him with songs of
praise.
Next slide. The Desire of Ages, page 709.
Paragraph 3. Good job. Continuing the reading. An earthquake marked the hour when Christ laid down his life, and another earthquake witnessed the moment when he took up in triumph. He who had vanquished death and the grave came forth from the tomb with the threat of a conqueror. Amid the reeling of the earth, the flashing of lightning, and the roaring of thunder. When he shall come to earth again, he will shake not only earth, but also heaven. Next slide, please. And we'll bubble down and let someone share.
I'm continuing.
Earth shall fall to ease. Good, come closer. Good. To and from, throw like a drunkard. And saw
shall be removed
like a
cottage.
The living.
What's up there? What is all this?
Heavens.
Same line up there. 1, 2, 3.
Shall be
world together.
Suburb,
say it.
Squirrel.
This world squirrel.
The
elements
saw me shout.
Melt
with
fervent
heat. The earth
also
and the works that are
two words put together.
The
there
Mm-hmm.
The rain.
Good, say it.
The rain.
Mm-hmm.
Saw.
Mm-mm.
Out.
Mm-hmm. Burned.
Up. But the Lord will be the help.
Hope.
Hope. If.
O-F. Mm-hmm.
This.
Mm-mm.
Is.
Mm-hmm.
People. And. A. The.
Strength.
Strength. If. I mean all. The.
You, Chrissy, your sisters are all, what are y'all, all my
child?
Children.
It, I mean, all
Israel.
Israel.
Hebrews.
Hebrews. 12, 26.
Isaiah.
Isaiah. 42.
Nope.
24.
Verse 20. You know the numbers.
20, 34, 4.
Second Peter.
Second Peter. 3, 10.
And Joel.
Joel. 3, 16.
Design of Ages, page 780, paragraph 1. Good job, Jeremiah. Chrissy, your turn.
At the
death,
death.
Of
Jesus,
Jesus,
the
soldier,
soldier
had
beheld the earth
wrapped
is in an
darkness.
Darkness.
Good. Say it louder.
At.
Good job. Midday.
Midday. Blue.
But.
At. The.
Resurrection.
Resurrection.
Come. They.
They.
Saw
the
brightness
of
mm-hmm.
the
what is this
angel
mm-hmm. illuminate
the
night
and is
heard.
The
inhabitants
of
heaven.
No.
What do we do? Da, 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 da. What is that?
Sing.
Good. Singing.
Dance.
With.
Great.
Joy.
Joy.
And.
Joy for
the man. And.
Triumph.
Thou. Has
vanquished
Satan
and the
powers
of singing.
No, darkness. See, same words.
Thou
has
swallowed up
death.
Victory.
Desire of Ages.
Desire of Ages.
Page 780, paragraph 2.
That's joy for the movie.
Mm-hmm. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality,
then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56 through 57, King James Version. Jesus conquered death for us.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good thou, little ones and parents. What have we learned and ways we have grown? To consider our scripture before we hear comments and the answer to the question, let us consider 1 Peter 3:15, it's a memory verse, scripture song. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. For those that are not able to see the screen, we are just going to read out the 6th question. And if you're moved to share their ones for the sake of the little ones, you can unmute your mic to do so. The first one is, who is the main character, characters? Number 2, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number 3, where did the story take place? Number 4, when did the story begin? Number 5, how do you relate to the story? And our last one is, what did you learn from this lesson? Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
In this section of the story, we see Christ, the soldiers, the great angel, that excelling strength, and also evil angels.
What is the main idea for this section of our story? We see here the pending resurrection of Christ, our Lord, and we see how efforts were put forward to keep him locked in the tomb. But we also see that even though evil angels were present, that heavenly angels were also present, ready to do the bidding for our Lord, our risen King. This section of the story is taking place, and we see in Christ in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea.
The answer to question 4, when did the story begin? The night of the first day of the week ending.
How could you relate to this story? We see in this story that what has to be will be, that we need not do anything, as we see that it was written, thus saith the Lord, that whatever the Lord said will come to pass, and we need not be afraid despite what human agents or the evil angels will put forward.
So in this section number 6, we see that the Lord, I learned, that the Lord is risen from the grave, and that he defeats death, and he's a conqueror, and he is greeted by a host of angels, and even the inhabitants of heaven can be heard singing praises, songs of praise to his honor. And also paid attention to the reverence that was given to him as he came triumphant from the tomb. So that's what I learned.
Well, what I learned from this lesson is I learned that Christ succeeded over death, as the prophecy said. Since the second day of the day he died, it was now over. Just as the prophecy said, on the third day he'd rise again. And what we lesson the story was that moment was already coming to pass, and he was fulfilling his goal, you know, to save us from sin.
I just want to add quickly, just so it was in the beginning, so it will be in the end, and that is exactly what we see here. Christ came down selflessly from his heavenly home to basically die for our sins. And as we saw, that was something that was brought out in the lesson. When he died, as our dear sister and our brother just said, that he conquered death, that there was an earthquake when he died. And at his rising, there was an earthquake again. So it's like, you see the fullness of the very act of what he did. So I just wanted to share that as well, that small trinket, that what I learned.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What I have learned and took account, and at the same time is very sad, is that nature even act with what was going on with the earthquake. As you can see, that nature had a manifestation. The earthquake and even the sun and all of the creation of God had made a reaction towards the death of Christ. And there were men that, even though all of these manifestations were shown, their hearts were still so far away from what had happened in that great earthquake and that sacrifice that was done even for their own life. And that's what I have noticed as well. Well, dear ones, we are going to continue with sharing thoughts, poem, and special music. And our talk is taken from our devotional chapter 8, entitled, Lift Him Up as the Crucified One. And also, there is a title for What Matchless Love, from page 227, 2 to 4. And the opening scripture is taken from Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 16 from the King James Version. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoration, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic to do so.
While the law of God is maintained and its justice vindicated, the sinner can be pardoned. The dearest gift that heaven itself had to bestow had been poured out, that God might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. By that gift, if men are uplifted from the ruin and degradation of sin to become children of God. Says Paul, ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Lift Him Up, pages 227, paragraph 2.
With the beloved John, I call upon you to behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What love, what matchless love, that sinners and as we are, we may be brought back to God and adopted into His family. We may address Him by the endearing name, our Father, which is a sign of our affection for Him and of His tender regard and relationship to us and the Son of God. Continuing with the next slide. beholding the heirs of grace, is not ashamed to call them brethren. They have even a more sacred relationship to God than have the angels who have never fallen. Lift him up, page 227, paragraph 3.
All the paternal love which has come down from generation to generation through the channel of human hearts, all the springs of tenderness which have opened the souls of men, are but as a tiny rill to the boundless ocean when compared with the infinite exhaustless love of God. Tongue cannot utter it. Pen cannot portray it. You may meditate upon it every day of your life. You may search the scriptures diligently in order to understand it. You may summon every power and capability that God has given you in the endeavor to comprehend the love and compassion of the Heavenly Father. And yet, there is an infinity beyond. You may study that love for ages, yet you can never fully comprehend the length and breadth, the depth and the height
of the love of God in giving His Son to die for the world. Eternity itself can never fully reveal it. Yet as we study the Bible and meditate upon the life of Christ and the plan of redemption, these great themes will open to our understanding more and more, and it will be ours to realize the blessing which Paul desired for the Ephesian church when he prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us ward who believe. From Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 19, and Testimonies, volume 5, paragraph 739 to 740. Lift him up, page 227, paragraph 4.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And we have a poem as well. The 23rd Psalms in Poetry, taken from Children Activity Book, Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 3, from page 776. From the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschool of the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Number 1. The Lord is my shepherd. No want shall come nigh. Within the green pastures, He makes me to lie. Beside the still waters, He leads me to rest. My soul He revives when I am faint and oppressed.
In the right way He leads me for His own name's sake. Although through the veil of death's shadow I walk, since You are there with me, no evil I fear. Your rod and Your staff give me comfort and cheer.
You set me a table before all my foes. My head You anoint and my cup overflows. Your goodness and mercy attend my life's ways. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord endless days.
Amen. And we are going to share special music taken from our study book, Desire of Nation, Volume 2. It's from 1 John 3, 1-3, King James Version.
Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because
We have come to the end of our review section of our study. Next week, we will continue with part two of our lesson entitled The Lord is Risen in our study book, The Desire of Ages. Who would like to have closing prayer, dear ones? May you unmute your mic to do so.
May we bow our heads on our knees as far as we can. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Father Jesus, as we come to thee, we thank you in a special way for your love and care for us, Father Jesus. We thank you for all your blessings. We thank you for all your protection. Thank you, Lord Jesus, especially for bringing us safely through another week and bringing us back here on the Sabbath day to praise your name. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the little children and their participation, and continue to bless them and keep them on this journey, Lord. Be with their families as well. As we move on to the next level or section of the studies, be with the speaker, Father. Bless him and give him the words that you would like for him to impart to us today. Keep us safe. Keep our minds elevated on you. Be with the sick and needy in this time, I pray. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, dear sister. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we will continue in our chapter 81 entitled The Lord is Risen in part 2. And that will take place August the 17th, 2024. And that will be our lesson 415. May you all have a blessed rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, but leaving the scripture, also our quote from the Great Controversy, page 469, paragraph 3. Our scripture is taken from 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And from our quote, this work can be accomplished only through faith in Christ, by the power of the indwelling Spirit of God. Paul admonished believers, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that is a quote from Philippians 2, 12 and 13. And ending is, the Christians will feel the prompting of sin, but he will maintain a constant warfare against it. Here is where Christ's help is needed. Human weakness becomes united to divine strength, and faith is claimed. Thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, and God bless.